And you're also joined by Sika 90, Manchancha, who's the associate editor at Scorpio, Daily Maverick's investigative unit. Good morning, Squire.
Good morning to you, sir. Did you just say you only learned to bri about 3 weeks ago?
No, I said the last time I bri'd was about 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
No. I'm challenged in many areas. That's not one of it. Now, let's talk about SAA.
I can talk to you.
Les Mattison, of course, takes over the reins at SAA as their clients fly away. We spoke to Claddy this morning. Claddy said that they cannot guarantee your tickets in the future. This is all going to depend on what the business rescue practitioner and the decisions that he has to make. Claddy said they can only guarantee what's happening now, published schedules.
You know, South African Airways is a mess and a half. Fela Kuti of Nigeria, the musician, is what he would call it, the original problem. I don't know what an original problem looks like. But here we go. Les Mattison is an experienced business practitioner and a restructuring specialist of 35 years standing in that field. He has now taken over as his appointed business rescue practitioner. He's got massive powers, the first of which is to replace the board. The board has stood aside. Management team has stood aside. Les Mattison is now the de facto head of South African Airways. And he's got massive powers to negotiate and to just put a standstill to every onerous contract, including debt repayments. That is what he will have to do. So he will go to bond investors who are owed about 9 billion rand by South African Airways in current outstanding debt to say, listen, don't expect me to be paying you. I have a whole lot of other things to do. But most importantly, Kino, South African Airways, about 2 weeks ago, entered into an agreement with the trade unions in which it said it will give them a 5.9% increase if it gets the money. That is an obviously illegal transaction. Mattison will cancel that with immediate effect, I think. Mm. And basically, he takes over and he decides who to pay in terms of the people that are being owed money by South African Airways. He decides what contracts will still go, or he can just cancel them with immediate effect and to do what he can to save the company. We know him. His last major business rescue operation was Ellerin. Mm. He saved many branches of the furniture retailer. Louis Group bought quite a large number of those stores. Shoprite bought others. And there were few. He saved a lot of jobs, about 3,000 jobs in the rescue of Ellerin when African Bank failed 4 years ago. So this is the man. He will be told not by the Department of Public Enterprises, not by the finance minister, not by the board, not by the chief executive, not by the executive chairman of South African Airways. He will be told not by any of them on what to do with South African Airways.
I love
it. From now on, he is the de facto head. NUMSA and all the trade unions, if they have anything to say, they have to talk to him. And he's under no bargaining agreement. There's no bargaining deal with him in terms of recognized trade unions. So that's where we have put our beloved South African Airways of 90 years.
Well, it seems to be in the right hands, though. I mean, if one just looks at his qualifications, he's got a Bachelor of Accountancy at WITS, Chartered Accountant South Africa, so he's a CASA, Master of Business Administration from WITS, a member of the International Turnaround Management Association, member of the South African Restructuring and Insolvency, CIPC, recognized and approved senior business rescue, I think is the word, practitioner. He's most, as you said, he led the business rescue of the Ellerin Furnishers, which was the furniture retail arm of African Bank, as you've stated. The Ellerin Furnishers Group had over 1,000 retail furniture stores across 6 countries in sub-Saharan Africa. And according to the CPIC, the Ellerin Furniture Business Rescue was one of the largest business rescues in South African history. He's got
one of the most successful.
Yeah, I mean, he's got private equity. I mean, this man, I don't know what the unions are talking about. I don't know if they wanted Zwelin Zimavavi to help them restructure, but hey, yay, yay. This guy seemed...
I think they wanted Ivan Jim to do it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But let's move on to load shedding. It continues to stalk Eskom.
This thing called Eskom has got its umpteenth generation unit broken down again in the summer months of low demand.
Yeah.
God knows what happens come May next year. I'm sure you are tired of all of the excuses as to why this time there is a breakdown. What we do know is that it is raining in the provinces where coal comes from. So when coal is wet, it's actually difficult for Eskom to burn. But Eskom does not have any other infrastructure to replace units that cannot take in wet coal. That is where we are. Now, of course, you do know that I was amongst those that wrote bold headlines about 2 weeks ago, Eskom saying there will be no planned load shedding for the next 6 months. It's nearly 2 weeks that they said that, and we are having load shedding again. So load shedding, my good friend, here we are for the next 4 years, I tell you.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I've been chatting to the COO this morning. He was once again talking about the boiler tubes and the fact that these boiler tubes are costing them. I mean, it's wreaking havoc, right? And then I said, yeah, but why didn't you just replace the darn stuff? And he said, well, there was a management program in place in about 2015. It was ended, and they've now just recently reinstated it. I mean, they should have done so a long time ago. But
guess who maintains those boiler tubes?
Tell me.
The very company that built them. Those are your Hitachis, those are your Alstom, those are your... They maintain their own units. Now, I asked Jan Oberholzer a few weeks ago, is there no way these companies themselves can detect a boiler tube leak before it happens when a machine needs servicing? Surely your car even tells you that this thing does need servicing. They built the machines themselves, and Eskom lets them manage it. Of course, there's no better person to manage it, but what kind of job are they doing? So we are here at a growth of less than 1% for the economy, and it's not going to get any better. I kid you not, give it another 4 years. You can just forget about fixing economic growth if you cannot fix Eskom.
Exactly. Now, let's talk about Busasa. Kaput. Finish and klar. Klagelach. Finish laughing. No more.
Busasa, because the auction has been going ahead very nicely. All the assets. Well, I'm down in the Republic of Cape Town. I was hoping to go get a slice of state capture history by acquiring one of the assets, but I'm down here in the Republic of Cape Town, and I couldn't make it to Krugersdorp.
You couldn't even make it to the studio to come and do your crossing here.
Don't be chatterach now. All the assets of Busasa have been liquidated, and the taxpayer, the taxman, is standing there saying, "Oh, you owe me 500 million rand." So this is one major issue in the state capture sequence of our lives. Busasa is gone, but we have not a single prosecution. Of course, Gavin Watson escaped through death. Unfortunately, nobody could get to him in the law in terms of law enforcement. Mm. But not a single thief, not a single fraudster has been arrested and prosecuted in this sordid state capture that has actually gifted us the Eskom we were talking about, the South African Airways we were talking about, a whole lot more corruption that's happening. But Busasa is gone. Thank you very much. Goodbye, Busasa.
And on that note, thank you very much and goodbye. No, Sikudati, great having you on. And I know you were aiming for that blue BMW. It was an ugly color. But anyway, sorry you couldn't buy that one, man. Ish, that
X5. You don't buy those on a journalist's salary, man.
True story. We still have to talk to Branko. But Sikudati, thank you very much. Sikudati Manchancha, the associate editor at Scorpio Daily Mavericks Investigative Unit.